feels like you get to the top of the roller coaster.
Just like a tingling in the back of your neck, your head.
And you know that feeling where your stomach just drops when you start going down?
You know, like I could feel something like coming down.
I can kind of feel it coming on.
It's like a huge rush.
Like an egg was cracked on the top of my head.
Your whole head's like on fire. That's how it feels.
When you do a lot of heroin, you feel it in your lungs.
You're like...
feel a tightness of breath.
The lack of oxygen is what kills you.
Like it has a direct effect on whatever it is in your brain that controls your lungs.
I hit myself.
And I was late for work, so I used it all.
Consciously know that I was going to overdose.
And I remember like thinking like, oh, shit.
You know, this is too much. And
whoa. I think that's all I said, actually. I was like, whoa.
I pulled out and that's the last thing I remember.
Overdosing, you know, going like probably 30 miles an hour on a really windy, like typical Cape Road.
Driver's seat. I guess I fell.
And you know, I don't remember having any dreams or any like white light moments.
Just didn't wake up, you know?
Your eyes close and that's that.
It was literally nothing, you know?
It's just like a deep sleep with no dreams. It's just black.
You know what? It was the winter. It was February, but it was a Wednesday. On Wednesday nights, my husband and the kids go bowling, and it's my time to be home alone, and I go to bed early usually. I heard them come in, and I didn't get up or anything, and I think that there was a friend with them, and my son had to drive the friend home. The phone rang, and our son was having a hard time in the car. He had felt dizzy, and he had asked Anthony to drive for him. And Anthony looked over, and he was passed out. I got up. Like I said, I was in bed. I had my pajamas on. I put slippers on, and I grabbed my Narcan. I don't know why. He had been clean for 18 months. Got another phone call, and Anthony said he had stopped breathing, and he was close to our house, but he had seen the police at a gas station down the street from us, so he pulled in there. So I got in my car, and I drove down to the gas station, and they were doing CPR on him.
We get the call. You know, it could be, you know, an overdose, come in as an overdose, come in as a possible overdose. And we'll respond, you know, like a medical emergency, lights and sirens.
You see a call that, you know, somebody, male or female, has passed out either in a parking lot or on a bench or in a car.
You know, we get there and there's somebody passed out in the bathroom.
And they're blue and they're not breathing. That's a sign of someone that is dead or near death.
Just like any time that the body doesn't have enough oxygen, it starts affecting the brain. The brain actually is very selfish, so it starts shunting the blood away from the extremities. And that's why the fingers will start turning blue and the lips will start turning blue, because to the brain, those parts aren't important.
On the side of the gas station, I think there were two cruisers, and they had him on the ground between the cruiser and the store. His shirt was off or unbuttoned, or his chest was exposed. It didn't appear to be breathing. I was scared to death. I believe at that time they told me they had found a needle. So I said, I've got Narcan. I was all thumbs at that point. I kept dropping it. So I said, Donna, you got to put your big girl pants on and do this. So I went and sat in front of the police cruiser because the lights from the headlights were good. And I put it together and I went and gave him the Narcan and nothing happened. So I went back down and put my second vial together. And at that point, one of the paramedics who I know well came over and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, it's okay, Donna, I'm here now. And he took the Narcan from me and he gave the second dose.
Within a minute, you can start to see the color come back in their face, chest start to rise, and then...
He came to, and he said he could hear me talking, and he knew everything, you know, was okay. He doesn't know what happened before that.
An off-duty cop found me, like, in the woods, on my dashboard, not breathing.
They just saw a kid that was passed out in his car.
A security guard found me and got me inside.
The EMTs gave me Narcan.
They said I was the color of a blue Gatorade when I woke up in the hospital.
I woke up in the back of an ambulance, Two EMTs.
With a cop standing over me.
I saw my brother, and then I saw the nurse in front of me.
I woke up more just confused and overwhelmed.
I was like, what the heck just happened?
With like a pounding headache and like in a neck brace.
I had pulled out into two lanes of traffic. They had to break me out of the car.
I was in shock. I didn't even know what to tell them. I was embarrassed. I was thankful.
There are people who wake up and are confused. There are some people that wake up swinging. There are some people who wake up yelling, and then there are other people who just wake up.
Understand that if a person overdoses and they're given Narcan, they immediately go into withdrawal, and now they're dope sick. I think everybody's heard about people going into the emergency room and coming out and shooting up in their car before they even leave the parking lot.
I know we've had an individual like multiple times in one weekend. I know that, so it could, you know, within the same, probably twice in the same 24-hour period. Obviously, just they're not ready to, you know, for recovery yet, and they just keep on using.
Have people, you know, overdosed and used Narcan and used again? Sure. It's not a treatment plan, but it enables people to stay alive.
You keep hoping that this time that you've given someone Narcan is the time that they decide to go get help.
I'd like to say that was the end of it for him, but it wasn't. The calling is more than something I can understand.
Imagine sitting at a table and like being famished, like wanting to eat so bad, and the food's right in front of you, and knowing that that food is slowly killing you. Like, but how do you tell somebody like, oh, don't eat? It's like, I'm hungry and it's hardwired into me. I'm gonna be hungry. To resist that urge is really tough. I had trouble stopping.
Like I couldn't stop when everybody else was, you know? And
it's tough to know exactly when it changed to, you know, I have no control over this anymore.
Somewhere out there in the world, there's like a ATM security tape of me like crying, taking money that wasn't mine.
You know, I wasn't getting high anymore. There was no high.
I'd say to myself, please help me get this thought out of my head.
It was seeking out drugs just to feel normal again.
Whoever you are, God, whoever it is, just help me get this thought out of my head.
He actually had overdosed 17 times. Unless you have it in your heart, you know, the brain says, I want to be clean. It doesn't always work that way, because sometimes I think the body, the disease of the thing, sucks you in so much. He had been in a detox at Gosnold. He had just come out about 5 days before that. And it was the first time I absolutely said to him, you are not coming home. And he called me the next morning. He said, Mom, I really want to get into this sober home, but I'm afraid if I'm not home that I'll never stay clean to get there. So I said, okay, come on home. So he did. He was safe at home with me. But you're never safe. It doesn't matter where you are, you're never safe. I came home and found him. I always feel like when you're thick into this disease of addiction, you have three alternatives: recovery, jail, or death. Because there's really nothing else. He's done all three now.
I always make sure that I don't say never will I ever use again. I don't want to ever use again, and I'm going to keep working towards that.
But I don't know, I try not to look too far down the road. I try to, like, you know, it's corny and it's cliche, but I really try and keep it in today.
I know I don't want to use today, and I know I probably won't want to use tomorrow either.
I got clean again, and I've been clean ever since. 20 months.
3.5 years now?
It'll be 3 years in July.
I feel good. I feel real good. I feel like I'm never turning back now. I have too much to live for.